welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 247.
347.
Oh, good grief. 347. Do you know, I was so organised with myself there. You know what I did? I actually wrote it on my whiteboard, but I wrote 247 because I'm an idiot. Right, let's do that again. Take two. Welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day
347.
See, that last 3 months, that passed really quickly, didn't it? What can I say? I've had a blinding headache all day. I'm a poorly girl, and yet I'm here, aren't I?
Jonathan's first, second and third.
Oh, well done, Jonathan. Jonathan's managed to morph himself. Oh, I've got no chart. Oh, hang on, there we go. Right, let's put that in. Actually, yes, I'm fifth. He's fifth as well. Ah, excellent, Alex. Jonathan's not on his own then. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Alex. Alex, you were second. Jonathan doesn't count if it's four times. Jonathan gets first spot, Alex gets second. There you go. Oh, dear, dear me. Hello, Renee. Now, I only know Renee is in there because Jonathan said so. So I need to refresh the chat yet again because it's gaslighting me yet again. There's Renee. See what I mean? Hello, Renee. So, how are we doing? Clearly, I've had better days. Oh, poor, poor me. Banging headache. But the excitement.
Come on,
man. Oh, she's so giddy today. She's been quiet all day. And now she's on the mooches, Lady Lola. So Daddy's taken her into the garden. The next thing you'll hear is barking. Incessant barking while she has some fun. Yes, today was the 1.9.1 updates. That was fun, wasn't it, Renee? Let's play whack-a-mole in the App Store. It's a good job I know the dirty tricks you need, because it's doing that to me all the time. I used to use Mac Update Desktop, but it didn't end well with that. It was a farce. They went... Well, one, the app doesn't work properly. So I decided when I did the rebuild, I wouldn't bother. I would just update things as and when. Well, obviously, you know, we know that the Affinity ones are out. So I went to looking. And as ever, there was no updates. There was no updates in the App Store update section. And even when you search for Affinity, you had all the apps and it just said open. It didn't say update. But you've got to actually go into the page to get the update. This is why updating takes me 15 times as long now, because I'm all over the place trying to make it work. When in actuality, do you know what? It should just work. If things worked the way they were expected to, my life would be a whole lot easier. But clearly, not working the way they should do, as Renee found out, but all sorted now. Renee was working with Publisher all day. Never had any troubles with it, so the update not very necessary. No, I didn't actually. There was a couple of little slowdowns, and I noticed once I'd installed all the new versions, the 1.9.1s, that first startup was really, really slow again. So I did notice that, but apart from that, if everything just worked, life would be far simpler. Jonathan's day was good. Last night's release went okay, no major issues. Well, that's a big change, isn't it, from the night before? Was it Monday you decided on that and it was all a calamity? Good to hear. I trust you're not trying again, it being Friday tomorrow. You know, don't roll out updates on a Friday ever, because, you know, that's where weekends go to die. Triaging the updates that were sent out on a Friday. Technically, Friday should be a good day because no one should notice. But it doesn't end up like that, does it? Oh, no. So I have actually been in Affinity Photo today, which is quite unusual for me. That is my least used Affinity app, to be honest. Oh, and tomorrow, finishing at 1 o'clock. You don't care if the world's on fire. Is this so you can have a nap in the afternoon? Get ready for a very exciting... Oh, and it will be a very, very exciting after hours. Put it like this, Jonathan. Your world will be on fire at some point in the After Hours episode, which in your case could be Friday night or it could be Saturday morning. Either way, I predict excitement. There we go. Excitement. So let me know. Let me know. Got some things to do, all will be revealed in a few weeks' time. Oh, good grief. Wow, that sounds exciting. Ooh, now you've got me thinking. Oh, that's double excitement then. That's double excitement. You're not going to get married or anything, are you? Is it something like that? No, that would never get past Mummy Isaacs, would it? Not if it was going to be a surprise to Mummy Isaacs. No, it wouldn't. I'll stop guessing. Because Mike always tells me off when I guess correctly, and he says, you spoilt my punchline. And do you know some of the things he starts telling me? I say the most ludicrous things, and they're right. So I'm going to stop guessing. A life-changing event, but not married. Good grief, the third arm hasn't appeared, has it? It could well be fur and four legs related, but I'm going to stop guessing. We're going to leave Jonathan alone, and he will reveal all at a suitable point in the future. Although if it is the acquisition of a little furry friend, that's more married than married ever will be, Jonathan. As I've discovered this week, Lola has been next to me like glue. Now, she's not that kind of dog. But she's taken to sitting next to my office chair and headbutting me from behind because she can. But she's a happy little dog. She is a happy little dog, as you saw from the photos. Mike put one of those on Workplace today, which is the like intranet for AstraZeneca. And they have a dog group. They also have knitting groups and you name it, there's a group for it. But religious groups aren't allowed because that's too divisive. I thought, really? Other than the politics groups? How are they going? Oh, talking of which, who would pay Twitter money? That was in the mail tonight. Who would pay Twitter money? They should pay me to read the tripe that's in my feed. And that doesn't include the adverts. Their plan, I think, is $4.99. I'm not quite sure what you get for it over and above a normal thing. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Pay for Twitter for what? Well, that's my point, Jonathan. Let's have a look what it says. It was all very fascinating. I didn't know which to laugh at and which to cry at, because the other one that I saw was Apple debuts new ethics and compliance webpage with details on conduct policies and more. That doesn't stop the everyday sexism. When I walk into a store and they start talking to Mike, when I say, can I see X, and they start talking to Mike, is that on their ethics and compliance webpage, or can I add my own bit? Anyway, let me get off my high horse with that one. Right, Twitter, Twitter, Twitter. Where did Twitter go? Twitter, 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 Twitter. It was today. It's vanished. Where have you gone? Let me do a search. Let me do a search for Twitter. Oh no, that one was 3 days ago. There you go. Twitter's working on a subscription service. That was a couple of days ago as well. It's vanished. Oh, right. What it was saying was it was going to be, there you go, super follow. Right. It's been an all round more ambitious year for Twitter. So they're rolling out a super follow creator subscription. So I think it's something to compete with Patreon. But I can't fathom that, because I guess you'd have to pay to follow certain creators then. So if there was a creator on Twitter and they were making like videos or whatever, then you would have to pay to access their content in the way of Patreon. Would we do that? Oh, right, let's have a look. You might pay them to open their API so other developers can use the new functionality. I must admit, Twitter's just become horrific. Anthony doesn't use Twitter, so having to pay for it won't make him want to use it. And Renee would never do that. That was my first thought. I thought, I can understand creators wanting to earn money, obviously. I mean, you think about all that we need in here to broadcast after hours. You need a very, very good computer. You need a backup. You need a really good internet connection. I mean, our internet connection, I did a speed test the other day. I think it was 1,068 over something else. And, you know, and then Kim comes on and says, like, mine's 20. You realise, you know, but I mean, we pay through the nose for that. Lighting, microphones, internet cabling in the house, the internet, the network in the house, all the extra cabling so we can hear Mike. The software, Wirecast, was about £1,000 to £1,200. I think it was £1,000 plus that. So I can understand creators thinking it's a jolly good idea to get some money in for all they do. Absolutely. But on a one-by-one basis via Twitter, really? No, I can't see that myself. Renee already pays premium for YouTube. So do I, Renee. Jonathan only goes on Twitter to complain to a company that's done something wrong these days. It is the only way you get things sorted out. You're quite right, Jonathan. Can't remember who the company was. Oh, it's Sainsbury's. Sainsbury's many years ago. And I'm talking like 8 or 9 years ago. And they'd tried diddling my mother. And then they tried fobbing her off. So I outed them on Twitter. Absolutely. So, and it worked. It always works. You're quite right. Twitter's the place to publicly shame. But that's about all I use it for. Jonathan doesn't think he watches enough YouTube videos. Oh, I definitely do. I absolutely do. And I can't abide adverts. And I found if I log into the church account, which is where we were putting the mass videos, the adverts are horrific. And I thought they weren't this bad when I decided I was prepared to pay. But now they are bad. Now, After Hours does not have ads on it. My other videos do. But After Hours does not have ads on it. Yet. There you go. Can you imagine how many adverts YouTube could squeeze into a 4-hour show? Oh, might be Advert Central, wouldn't it? So let me catch up. Jonathan doesn't watch enough. So Anthony can understand Patreon for YouTube. You pay premium. There's one YouTuber I support because I like their content and he's local. But I don't know why you'd pay somebody for Twitter. Me neither, Anthony, honestly. It seems a weird way of going about it. It seems totally counterintuitive with what Twitter was originally supposed to be. It's as though they've seen these things like, oh, what's that other one? Paul mentioned it. Clubhouse and stuff like that. But I don't think it fits in with Twitter. I really don't. But I guess some people will. Ah, Renee watches YouTube 3 hours a day. Sounds like me, Renee. I am in there all the time. There's lots of different types of genres, which, you know, if you just log in and you see your stuff, you're only going to see people that you follow or people that you watch. But, you know, you do some searching on there when you're trying to do some research, and it's amazing the stuff that's up there. Because I watched a video about somewhere in London, I got offered this video and I looked at it and I thought, it's 2 hours 45. What is it? And the thumbnail was like an area of London that I knew. I think it was Hammersmith. And I'm thinking, but what's the video? And it was a guy who must have had the camera strapped to his head, who walked from A to B via Hammersmith. And that was it. That was the video. There was no talking. It was just like you were walking with him. And I thought it was a great way to exercise. But apart from that, how weird. But once I'd had a little gander at that, I then got bombarded with, you looked at this, so you might want this. And it was walks all over the UK. So I thought, and then I thought, you know, why? But then I realised, and I thought, well, I live in Manchester, and Manchester United have fans all over the world. Has anybody ever just strapped a camera to themselves and walked around Old Trafford? So it's kind of like not an official tour kind of thing, just an unofficial, as if you were walking around. So a point of view video. And I thought I could see people watching that. I could see people watching it. And then I understood. So for research, absolutely amazing. Yeah, I'm with Renee. 3 hours a day, probably underestimating it. Hello, Tracy. Less than 30 minutes a day. But you make up for it on a Friday or Saturday, don't you, Jonathan? Will you stop biting? Eh? Daddy's downstairs. You've probably worn him out. So you come up here to wear me out. Why don't you say hello to everybody? Ah, you see. Now your microphone's shy. Arrgh, tickle your tummy for them. There you go. Right. Now settle down. Be a settled down dog. There's a chap who walked around Leeds during lockdown. Obviously had a GoPro or something similar. But people are watching it. So that's the beauty with YouTube. You know, there's going to be a lot of stuff on it that I am never watching, like knitting. But people do. There are videos up there of people knitting for 3 hours. And if that calms you down or floats your boat, awesome. As long as what I want to watch on videos up there, I'm fine. I did see a video from a guy. This isn't his name, but it's his YouTube handle, Jago Hazard. And he does stuff all about London. History stuff. Actually, he's moved into history stuff during the pandemic because his primary thing was the Tube, the London Tube, which I was fascinated with when I went to live in London for the first time. So I watched one of those videos and, you know, he's fantastic. But it's slightly out of what most people would want, I'd have thought. But there's loads there for people. Anything people want to watch, you'll find it on there. Renee always gets lost in the recommendations. I know. They do that to you, don't they? Right now, you follow a gay couple with a narrow boat, foxes afloat, well worth watching. I will keep an eye out for that one. I watch a lot of true crime. History stuff I like. Anything with a good story. Anything with a good story, I guess. One thing that I found really interesting was I got offered a U2 video. And this U2 video was a live concert. I think it was recorded by somebody in the audience, but it was brilliant. It was fabulous. And I only wish I could find from 1985 the Milton Keynes gig, because I was there. And I would have loved a video of that. And there was a guy, and you can imagine 1985, who used to go every weekend to like festivals and stuff, multi-group concerts, and recorded them. Now, back in the day, that must have been a nightmare. The camera must have been the size of a small horse. But he did. And I remember saying to him, you will do Milton Keynes, don't you? You will do Milton Keynes. Something else clashed with it that day, and he didn't. But he did have audio of it. So I've got an audio recording of this concert, but I've never seen a video of it. And I would love a video of it. I don't know if anybody did it. So I'm searching YouTube now for Milton Keynes 1985. See if I can find it. It might sound odd, but the stuff that's up there, even just old TV programmes. I think Mike mentioned a show once called Run Around. And it was hosted by an actor, although back then he was a comedian, Mike Reed, not to be confused with the DJ Mike Reed. He went on to play somebody, can't remember the name, in EastEnders. Frank Butcher in EastEnders. And this was an episode of Run Around from 1979, the whole episode. And of course, Run Around was a kids' programme where there were 10 kids. And they answered questions. And if they got it right, they got this ball. And then whoever had the most balls at the end had won. And I'm looking at these kids. And do you know what was really, really wonderful? They looked like kids. They were probably about 10 or 11 years of age. And they looked like kids. They did not have the fake tan, the white teeth, the breast enlargements. They looked like kids. And I thought that's what kids looked like in the day. You know, just a pair of jeans, sloppy t-shirt and glasses. They looked like kids. But, you know, Mike would sit and watch that because it takes you back to your childhood. The channel in question actually just recorded quite a lot of stuff. And, you know, if he was recording onto VHS in 1979, he was way ahead of the curve. The fact that these videos are still like transferable today is pretty amazing. And he just puts up, he must get his tapes out, digitise them and then just put them up on YouTube. And because they're that old, I don't think they're bothered about the copyright either. Just utterly amazing stuff that you fall across. It really is. Good night, Jonathan. See you tomorrow. You see, Anthony's seen Foxes Afloat as well. Why have I not seen Foxes Afloat? I now need to see this. What are you doing to me? There's 4 hours a day gone now. Oh. You've watched a lot of Monty Python lately. I think the only one I did, we got a request on By Request for, is it the Lumberjack song? Or was it the Parrot one? I think it was the Parrot one. And the only copies we could find went straight into the Lumberjack sketch. So there I am trying to download it to do an edit so I can actually like come out of one before it starts going into the other. But yeah, I did stumble across a lot then. And whenever I do that on YouTube, it's comical because then it's like, you watch this, you might want to watch this. And I get stuff that is like, I have no idea what that is. I don't know what that is. And it offers it to me for weeks. I watched one about a roller coaster, which was fascinating. Then I got offered another one and another one. So now I'm being offered stuff like problematic roller coaster, Space Mountain, Walt Disney World. Uploaded 17 hours ago, already had 12,000 hits. But the one that I got offered the other day was absolutely fabulous. It was along the roller coaster theme, but it was on about theme parks. And the theme park in question was the demise of Camelot. And I thought, that I'm watching. Hold my beer. While I go sit down and watch it, I'm going to be glued to it. Camelot was a theme park, obviously based on the Camelot history, King Arthur and all of that. In Chorley in Lancashire, which is about maybe 30 miles from here. And I'd never been to it, but obviously I'd seen adverts and photos and stuff. And Microsoft decided they were going to have a two-day extravaganza, I think it was. Normally, this happens about 2 minutes from Mike's flat. It was the late 90s, and it was like 2 minutes from Mike's flat, so it was really convenient. But no, they decided they were taking it up to this place called Chorley. And I'm thinking, why would you go up there? But it turned out there was a hotel there and they did conferencing. So that is why they were going there. So we went there. Oh, to say it was bad was an understatement. The parking was hideous. It said it was 2 minutes off the motorway. Well, it was if you were prepared to park on the hard shoulder and hike. But other than that, it was about 25 minutes off the motorway, if we're going to get technical. So the parking was the worst thing when we got there. We eventually found a spot. Then we went into this hotel and the hotel was themed to match Camelot. So it looked like an old banqueting hall. And they used to do weddings there and stuff. I had not gone in the place above 30 seconds. And my mum's saying, don't move, don't move, don't move. And there was, the walls were like untreated brick on the inside, ancient looking brick. They were filthy. And I mean filthy. Me, I'd worn a white coat. Yeah. So I ended up with a brickwork pattern on my back that she then had to get off because I touched this wall. Then we went to get some drinks. There were complimentary drinks. And we went over. There were no chairs, no tables. And they've given you all your conference pack and stuff. So we headed over to this radiator to put the drinks on it. When I looked underneath this radiator, there were two items. One was a dirty glass, which had been there a while. Trust me, it was black. And I thought, how has nobody noticed this dirty glass under here? It was full of cobwebs and spiders. As if that wasn't bad enough, as I'm recoiling from it, next to that was a live mousetrap with a mouse in it. I thought, right, okay, it won't be standing here then. So then we had to move. It went downhill from there after that, honestly. Lunchtime, the toilets flooded. Gents were fine, obviously. But the ladies flooded, so you needed waders to get in there. There was a broken window in the toilet. Is that somebody knocking on the door? Because I know you're expecting a delivery. So instead of going to have a look at the door, no, he starts leaning out of the window.
No, it's not.
Right, I'll tell you what. I'll put the CCTV on for when they turn up and then you'll know. Poor Mike. I actually had the CCTV on today in the office because Madam's taken to sitting behind me and doing things she shouldn't do.
So settle down.
She's giddy tonight, I'm telling you. She is giddy. Right, let's put the outside one on. So lunchtime, not good. They'd arranged food for their staff and not the visitors. It was utterly, utterly a farce. So, but when they asked for feedback, they got it. But at the end of that first day, they said, we're coming back here next time. And I turned to my mum and I whispered, oh, no, we're not. So I filled in this form, short version. I filled in this form and I asked for two more sheets for my feedback. And this was, like I say, late 90s. They had to fax the feedback forms back to head office that night. By the next morning, we sat down and this guy had a right face on him. He was loving this, the Microsoft guy. He said, oh, it's a great place, this. We're going go-kart racing. And I thought, well, we've got no food, no water, a mousetrap with a mouse in it, filthy glass, filthy walls, and the toilet's flooded. And this is a Microsoft conference. So he was loving it that first night. By the next morning, not so much. He said, you know, I said we were coming back here next time. And they all went, yeah. And he went, we're not. I thought that didn't take long. Didn't even take till the end of the conference. The place was alive. So obviously when I heard it had closed down, I was rather pleased. But they had actual video of it closed down and what they were trying to do with it since. They wanted to build houses. That got turned down. Then there was a retail park. That got turned down. So they're now back to housing of some description. But at the moment, 12 years after it closed, it's still there. And it's got this like front piece, you know, like where you would go into it, the entrance thing. But it's like a facade. And the facade was a castle. And it's still there to this day, crumbling. So, yeah, happy memories seeing that. YouTube is amazing. Totally amazing. Right, let me get back up here. Tony remembers Run Around better than Banana One.
I'm coming down. Around.
I knew you remembered Run Around. That's why I'm talking
What's
about
his face? Mike Reed.
Yes. And I was saying there's a few episodes of it on YouTube, full episodes from 1979 and 1980.
I used to play Run Around when I was in charge of that youth group.
It was good, wasn't it? Yeah. Should bring it back. But I was making a point that the kids look like kids. And now they look like little mini-me's of Katie Price.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only problem. Kids look like kids and they were allowed to be kids, which was amazing. So Renee says, since I have a condition called PICS, post-intensive care syndrome, I need a lot of rest, so I'm in bed a lot, so YouTube's my friend. YouTube's fabulous, isn't it, on an iPad in a reclined position. I actually got myself, let me see if I can find the link. I got myself a stand for the iPad. I have a million iPad stands, but none of them worked in bed particularly because they were too small, really. You need a bigger thing, don't you? If you're going to put an iPad on it. And it also needs to be where it doesn't hurt you if you like knock into it or roll over onto it. Let me see if I can find the one I bought. There it is. Right. It was on offer at the time. I dread to think how much it is now. But there it is. It's a pillow tablet holder. Highly recommended. It's fabulous. Who doesn't need one of these? There was a grey one, they had a blue one, didn't they? I don't think they had a black one. So I went for the grey one. I know it's 25 quid. I don't think I paid that for it. It works with any iPad. It's got multiple angles and you can put your pencil on it. And it's just fabulous. It's fabulous in bed. I would not use that at my desk, obviously. But when I'm just reclined watching YouTube, I can highly recommend that. The parrot's dead. That was the bit I wanted to get to, that the parrot was dead. I didn't want to get into the lumberjack song. That was the problem. Oh, Dusty's dog walk. First in of all the people currently in the deep in the woods. Who could that be? Do you think that's Dusty himself?
I think it could be.
My money's on Simon.
He's learned to type.
Oh, I love it. You're fine as long as you take a rest every now and then. Well, you're not going to be on your own with that one, are you, Renee? Because now there are a million people with long COVID. And from what I've heard of that, one lady used to do marathons and she now can't walk 10 yards with it without being out of breath, which is, as a concept, terrifying, isn't it? I mean, I remember when I wasn't well, you know, not something after I'd been ill, when I was actually like with a cold or something, and my mum would decide we needed to do something. And it would always involve me, like, dragging boxes around or stacking stuff, and you could barely breathe. So I can only empathise immensely with you. It would do my head in. When I get out of breath, I'm not good, am I? I like to be capable, and when I'm not, I'm hell to live with, according to Mike.
I never said that.
No, but you thought it, didn't you? I know that's what he's thinking because his eyebrow moved. I can see that from here. Oh dear. Renee has the Apple Folio keyboard, doubles as an A stand. Yeah, mine has a little bed of its own. It's really handy. You can put like 3 iPads on there, which normally I do.
Look at those two.
Oh, baby Sammy's. Oh, that's got a high-pitched yip, just like you. Just like Lola.
Yes.
Oh, you should download that. Too cute. 2 Sammy puppies running around. Tony says, I love YouTube as it brought me here to all your lovely peeps. Oh, Tony, that is so sweet. Good job I was putting stuff out on YouTube, isn't it? Because I do take the after hours and put them in a playlist, but they're not searchable. You wouldn't find them if you were searching for them. You have to use the playlist. Oh, Kim watches YouTube on her TV via Roku. I think I have done the YouTube thing on a TV once, but you know me with the TV. Struggle with the TV, much less the YouTube thing. I have an Apple TV and it's attached to my mother's TV, but we just don't use TV. I have no idea where the remote control is and much less the on-off switch. I'd have to go on an adventure to find that. That's how often this thing's used. So for me, it's either my computer or an iPad. Pix is what a lot of COVID patients end up with. Oh, that is not good. That is not good. Oh, Dusty. Oh, no, Elaine is reading micro expressions now. I'm FBI trained, you know. Yep, his eyebrow moved. Can you recommend an inexpensive iPad stand you could advise somebody to buy? Of course, Alex. What's the criteria? Is it for a desk? Is it for portability? Because you can get quite a few desk ones that aren't that portable. A portable one could work on the desk. It depends. Do you want it upright or do you want to kind of write on it? That's why I've got so many iPad stands, because they're all different. I've got one that's actually a laptop stand and the iPad lies flat on it and I use it to write on it. But you wouldn't use that one if you wanted to watch it like a TV. Lamical do very good stands. They're just not that cheap. There's one on offer at the moment, which I think is one that I have. Have a look. That looks familiar. Let's have a look at that. No, it doesn't say I bought that one. Is that the colour? Did I get the silver one of it? I did. I got the silver one of it. Mind you, what's that one? The grey one's a pound cheaper. I have one of these, okay, which is a Lamical. Mine is silver. iPad stand. That's one that's not bad, because that will take a 12.9 without toppling over in either orientation, but it'll also take a smaller one. It's not that heavy, and it's got an adjustable neck on it. So I could actually show you that tomorrow, because it's here next to me. That is very, very light. What it wouldn't do very well is the if you wanted to write on it, unless you tipped it upside down. Let me try it. Let me see if that would work. That's a bit tall. Let me push it down a bit. Actually, that would work perfectly. So that one would work in all 3 things. I'm going to leave that on my desk to remind me to show you that tomorrow or take some pickies or something. How it works, but that would enable you to have any size of iPad in any layout. They haven't even shown you there that you could have that flat and type on it. And you can probably get one similar to that a bit cheaper. I wouldn't be surprised, but that one's got a brand on it, so that's hence the price. It says there's a newer version of this and now it's £20. And nowhere near pretty. Oh dear, that's bad. What have we got in other ones? That's mainly the one I use. The other one I used to use. What's that? Not the A-frame. That was the Griffin. What was the other one called? Was it a 12 South one? 12. Let's see what 12 South I've got. Theirs are just ludicrously expensive. Ludicrously expensive, like £80-90 expensive. It's an iPad stand, crying out loud. No, it was a laptop stand that enabled you to write on it. Let's see if I can find anything that looks similar. Every time I go on here, I find stuff that's just totally different to whatever I've got. There's a flat one similar to the type I was mentioning where it literally folds flat, but that one isn't as flat as mine. Tell you what, let me get back into my orders and see the flat one. Let's try stand. This will give me about 390 of them, I can guarantee it. How much is that one? Man, that's a laptop though, so we want to try and avoid that if possible, don't we? There's a flat one, I think. A Fappen. Oh, they're not. That's not available. That's not good. Oh, hang on. What's that one? This is actually for a laptop, but it's rather interesting because it folds totally flat for you to put in your bag, and it would take an iPad. I don't think it would take an iPad if you want to watch it in the vertical position, though. But the other one that I use, that's got three different things. You could have it horizontal, vertical, or you could invert the stand and put it into a writing position. And it's all the same one. It's very well made. You would never break that. Trust me. I've had some of those since the very first iPad, and they're still going strong. The only time I buy another stand is when I find one that's like, that one's half an inch different than the first one. And I'm like, must have a new iPad stand. Haven't had a new iPad stand in at least a week. Need a new iPad stand. Oh, I'm very bad.
I've had this letter de-COVIDing for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's vouchers for Tesco.
Which are now out of date.
No, they're not. They're valid until 2023. But
when will be able to go back in store?
No, but normally I get like a fiver's worth. I've got 14 quid's worth here.
And that's handy because tonight's the last night to put in the order.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Ooh, Mike's shopping, in other words.
Shopping with Mike.
Shopping with Mike.
Shopping with Elaine.
What's the best product to clean all our Mac kits and screens with? Yeah, like Renee says, a microfiber cloth, but there's two different kinds. One's quite rough, great for cleaning, but the one that's more felt-like works well on the screen. And what I use, you know the pound shops that you have in the UK, when we could shop?
Aren't they called dollar stores in the US?
Dollar stores. They had in there a kit for cleaning your LCD TVs. Your LED TV things. They were great. The liquid in that was fabulous. And this is from the woman who in 2006 spent £20 on one bottle of cleaning fluid to clean her Mac screens. I still have this bottle of cleaning fluid. I use it so infrequently. It still exists. It was called iClean. Sold at the Apple store, £20 a bottle. It is no better at all than the three bottles for a pound that I got from the pound shop. So anything that says it can clean a TV screen, you should be fine with. Sometimes they come with two pieces if it's a computer kit, like a little brush for your keyboard and a cloth, and the cloth is microfiber, and it's kind of a hybrid between the felt one and the rougher one, and it's just perfect for your screen. Thing to remember with your screens is, and this is the same if it's a matte screen like an external monitor or an iMac, don't spray the stuff straight onto the screen. Spray it onto the cloth and then gently put it on the screen, and it it will dry. Then go over it a second time, and that because it will look really streaky when it's dried. But let it dry and then go over it a second time and basically get that off, and it will look like new. Look like new. Keyboards, I actually use isopropyl alcohol. Simon and I have had discussions about isopropyl alcohol. I used to buy it from the chemist, and they stopped selling it. So then we got onto this wholesale chemist, and that was fine. We bought a bottle there. But when you buy a bottle from the chemist, you're looking about 500 mil, which is more than enough for a couple of years when you're cleaning cloths or cleaning the desk with it. But we were on the cusp with it. And I was saying to Mike, you know, no isopropyl alcohol. They stopped selling it because people were drinking it. I can't get anywhere near the bottle just for the smell. And people were drinking it. And I'm like, so I can't clean my kit because people are drinking the isopropyl alcohol. Okay. Anyway, Simon put me on to somewhere I could get it. I looked on Amazon. Kim provided the percentage proof it needed to be. And I ordered a bottle. And it's fabulous. Totally fabulous. So isopropyl alcohol. Let me go back to my orders. I won't look up alcohol. Isopropyl. Right, let's try that. There we go. Rubbing alcohol, 70% pure. And how much is that at the moment? £17.95 for 5 litres. Now, given that the chemist were charging £10 for half a litre, that's a total bargain. £10. You've got £20 a litre from the chemist, or £17.95 for 5 litres from Amazon. I'll put the link in. You can get it in smaller bottles if you want smaller bottles. But the thing with this is it's multi-purpose. And it's fantastic for cleaning. It really is. I clean the desk with it. Mouse mats, you name it. It gets treated with that at least twice a week. Cleanest keyboard in the county. Although I think Kim's might be cleaner. I reckon Kim does hers every day. Like the one that came with the Mac. Yeah, the one that came with the Mac was one very tiny and two very, very thin. But the felt-based... Let me see if I can find a link for that as well. Microfiber. Now, what are you doing up there? I didn't want that there. Would it be under tools and DIY, do you think? Probably not. No. So let's do a general search or we'll never find it. In fact, I've bought these. I'm sure I have. So if I go backwards... Let's try cloths. Oh my, 3,000 of them. Why is it including t-shirts that I bought you in cloth? For my keyboard, I use these are like, let's look at these. Are they there? Lint-free microfiber Excel Super Magic cleaning cloths. Let's have a look at these. Where did I use these on? Oh, these were fabulous. Yes, I remember these. It's all coming back to me now. £7.89 for 10. They are fantastic. They're very, very soft, but they are the like rough microfiber. They work brilliantly. Happy to recommend those. They work brilliantly. Got your card at the ready. They're 40. Yeah, I got the blue ones, but they do actually do white now, don't they? I tend to use them until don't look at the white. They're £140. Stick with the blue. I got the blue. They're good grief. What's going on now? Was it 10 of them? What's going on here? That's better. £7.89 is what they were supposed to be. Right, that's times 20 of them, and so's that. So no, I think the blue is what they do in a pack of 10. They last ages. I've still got one of those, and I last ordered them 4 years ago. You have a lot of them. You worked for Rubbermaid. Oh, let's have a look at that one then. All right, I've got it. Let's go into here and have a look. Oh, now that's fabulous, isn't it? Oh, I like that. And it's the really soft, velvety one, that as well. That is genius. Good way of working. I don't work that way, just a cloth. Because I'm forever cleaning it. You know, honestly, I don't know how it gets like spots on it. And you think, what's that? And then you realise there's like dirt on it. I don't know where that comes from. What's she up to now?
She's been in and out.
Right, but now she's in, so stop looking at her and she'll be fine. She's playing with Mike's mind. Kim also washes her car with a microfiber cloth. Yeah, I would do, Kim, if I wash the car. That's one of the very few things I outsource. We've got one of these drive-through cleaning things. It's like a boutique. You stop on the way in and you hand over the money and then you pick from a menu of things you want them to do to it. So do you want the wheel trimmers doing? Do you want the underneath doing? Do you want this doing that? And I remember this particular day. We were going up to Preston. What's that place in Preston? Where we did the Catanian thing. That Lloydie don't like the women at.
Longridge.
Longridge. We were going up to Longridge, which is probably about 50 miles, yeah. Something like that. And we got the job of taking one of the Catanians with us who'd had a knee transplant, a new joint put in. So you know, we were divvying up the cars. We were in charge of who was doing the cars, and my car was the biggest. So I said, he'll have to come with us. I said, but before we do that, the car will have to be clean. So I took it to the car boutique for cleaning. And I remember I've got this pot in like near the gear stick and it's got money in it. So I took that off. I think I had £10 on my own. And I thought, what's the max here? Give it the works. And I looked, I thought I'm going to need a few more pounds. So I dug some pounds out, the parking money, put it with it, opened the window, gave it to the guy. And I said, just make it look great. Well, I'm one of everything. Make it look great. I haven't got time to clean the car as well. I don't. If my car was young enough to worry about, I might do. But my car's probably, well, it's pushing young Jonathan in terms of years. Put it like that. It's only slightly younger than young Jonathan. Yes, it gets driven through this boutique car wash. Which is fascinating from the inside. Oh, when the first time I took my car through a car wash with Mayer in it. Oh, my word. He had a ball. An absolute ball. He was asleep on the back seat like, this is not interesting. This is not interesting. And I said, we're going through the car wash. And he's like, I don't know what a car wash is. I'm not interested. And then we drew in. He jumped up like he'd been shot, barked his proverbials off for the next 20 minutes while we went through it. He had an absolute blast. Do you remember that time the window got stuck open? He didn't enjoy that one quite so much. Oh, we used a Tesco bag, didn't we? To seal the window off. It's a long story, don't ask.
I remember when he jumped through my window when it got smashed.
Oh, how he knew, I do not know. Mike's car got broken into while we were at a car park in Old Trafford and they smashed the window. So we brought the car back and obviously it had no window. Never before and never after, Mayer took a flying leap. And you can imagine the height of a car window, clean through it. And I said, how did he know there was no glass? How could he be 100% positive? But he was. And we're trying to get him out because obviously the smashed glass was on the inside and didn't want it in his paws. But he thought it was a great wheeze. A bit like the first time he realised the patio doors were actually doors.
Oh, yeah.
We had a conservatory at the back of the house and it had two doors. One was the patio doors, bang in the centre at the front. And the other was like a personnel door at the side. And that was the one we used. So these front doors, when he was a pup, you know, obviously I can see their doors. To him, they're just glass. He doesn't realise that they're doors, doesn't realise they open. Must have been 18 months. He must have been about 18 months old. And we were in the conservatory and we were doing something. And Mum said, well, open the front doors. And she opened these doors. The look on his face, it was literally like it was Christmas. He couldn't believe all the months he didn't know that these doors opened. And he set up a circuit. He had zoomies, Kim. He went out the patio doors and in the personnel door and then out the patio doors again for about 30 minutes till he was dizzy. And then he turned round and started going the other way. Lola, on the other hand, was the complete opposite. At her first family's house, they had a through living room and lounge. So from the front room, you could go into the back room, and there were patio doors. And that was how they let her into the garden. So when she got here, she realised that our patio doors opened. We don't use our patio doors because we're in the middle of putting a step there when we went into lockdown. And so it's a sheer drop. It needs a step of about 10 inches. So it's going to have to wait until we can get to a DIY store. But she used to sit in front of the patio doors, convinced that that was the way out of the house. It took her at least 8-9 months before she then sits at the personnel door, the right door to get out of the house. And when she discovered the front door opened, well, that was just open season, wasn't it? Mike confuses her now by sometimes going out the front and sometimes going out of the back. And she doesn't know when to bark. She gets confused, bless her. Oh. Right, let me have a look here. Mike would clean your car if he wasn't too busy cleaning windows. No, that would never end well. We have done the car, haven't we? Because we've got car shampoo and sponges. Mm. It's just that's one thing I am prepared to outsource. I'm quite happy to sit there in the car wash for 20 minutes while they do their thing and I work on an iPad.
Your father did mine. I had to stand out there for about 4 hours with him.
My dad, it's amazing his car's ever had any paint on it. He never stopped cleaning them. He never, ever stopped cleaning them. He would drive my mother up the wall. Right, what we do, in this holiday, I thought we could do X and Y and Z, and he said, I've got to wash my car. And she said, that won't take a week. And I'm stood behind her going, it will the way he does it. He just loved it. He loved cleaning and polishing all of the detail. You know, when you detail a car around the wheel rims, the lot, he would be out there cleaning it with a toothpick. And he would drive me and my mother insane. We were both of the mind that a car is a car is a car. If it can get you from A to B, we don't care what it looks like. And if, when you get from A to B, it's big enough to put in whatever mum wants to buy and get it back home, all the better. Because with Dad, it was like the TARDIS. Every single time he bought a car, the boot was a fabulous size. Until the day Mum wanted to put something in it. And then, it's not big enough. That's because he didn't want it in there. Oh, 1 year he came a right cropper. Do you remember that Christmas? He was in a right mood. You can imagine a bloke in a mood. She wants to go shopping, he doesn't. But it's Christmas and she's going for Christmas food. And Dad would sure as heck want to eat the Christmas food. So he had no option but to suck it up. He was in a foul temper. So they goes out shopping. I think that was when he had that sporty Skoda. There was a sporty Skoda out there. It was a really nice car, but it had the engine in the back. So the boot was in the front, and that was where Mum's shopping had to go. So they goes out, they does some of this shopping, and the boot was overflowing. The back of the car was overflowing. Behind the seats was overflowing. On top of Mum was overflowing. And they came back. First thing was actually on the way back. Do you remember that one? He was in that much of a foul temper. He missed the motorway junction, which would be bad.
That's easily done.
It is easily done and it would be bad. But it's worse at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Christmas Eve when the go around is 8 miles. Yeah. And it was absolutely jam packed because which junction did he come off at? The airport. Christmas Eve. Brilliant, Dad. Mum had to talk to me on the phone. She said, we're stuck at the airport. I said, why are you going somewhere? And through gritted teeth, she said, your father took a wrong turn. I thought, this is not going to end well. And then I'm hearing her saying to him, half this stuff will be off by the time we get home, the rate we're going. She was in a mood. Anyway, they get back. He unpacks everything. And then they settle down for Christmas. Then, I'm trying to remember. Was it him or was it her? I think it was something for her. That'd be typical. And she said, I'm sure I bought some cheese and I haven't got it. You know, I must have forgotten to buy this cheese. She said, but I must be losing my touch because I thought I'd bought it. Anyway, he had Christmas off. So he'd been off 2 weeks. Then he goes back to work and he's coming back a week after he'd gone back to work. So this is 3 days, right? 3 weeks, rather. So 3 weeks later, he comes in and he says, there's something wrong with the car. And she said, well, what? You're going to take it to a garage or what? He said, something's not right. Something must have burnt out. It smells funny. Well, I looked at Mum and she looked at me and I thought, you remember that cheese? He'd only lost it under the seat of the car. It stank. And it was riddled. Well, it was riddled. Just some of you might be eating. Just imagine, it was alive. It was alive. So I said, we shouldn't have been in such a bad temper, should you, when you were unpacking the car? Oh, I know what you meant, Tony. I know what you meant. Oh, Renee's got a Skoda. I don't think I know that model. Let me have a look at that one. I was the only one who didn't have a Skoda, was I? Mine was a Yugo. I had a little Yugo. Loved it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I had a Skoda, didn't I?
Fabulous car. Yeah, now yours was fascinating, yours, wasn't it, Mike?
Not really.
Oh, Mike's was interesting. Mike's needed a drink all the time. Oh, that's a nice looking car. I'm liking that. That looks like a recreational vehicle. A big chunky thing. Now, I bet that's got a big boot. My mum would have liked that. She would have approved. No, I don't think there's anything wrong with Skoda. I do have a Skoda. Mine's a Skoda now.
Yeah.
But I always think of it as a VW, because if you want parts, it's Volkswagen. But it is actually a Skoda.
Doing the iPad.
Is she starving to death there?
No.
No. I'm going to make you watch the match. That'll shut you up. Right. Kim missed her turn coming home from getting the COVID vaccine. Onboard computer kept telling me to take left-hand turn. I was on the highway. There was no left-hand turn to be had. Gave you a laugh. Oh, Kim, I'm forever grateful when we're using any kind of navigational aid other than a map that there's two of us. Because the stuff it tells you to do over here, particularly the ones, I mean, if it's Google, Google's fairly good. Google can say, you know, there's traffic ahead, you want to divert. But some of these that are static, you know, where you have to do a manual update yourself, they've been driving people to the edge of cliffs and all sorts. One was a car. It told them to, like, turn left, go down here, go down there. And fair enough, it was in the right direction. But the car they were in was too big. It was basically a footpath and they got stuck. And somebody had to come out with a tractor and tow them out. So I'm always really, really careful with those things. I'd hate to use it if I was on my own, because I'd be wanting to see the screen and touch it to make sure it was actually right. Oh, that's a classic. Right, well, it's a big night tonight, isn't it? Do they have to win? How's it going? How was the first leg? That was 4-0. 4-0. So it would take a 5-0 loss tonight to cause trouble.
Yeah.
Are we thinking this is possible?
Anything's possible.
Yes, Mike's never sure until it's actually won. Until it's won. So we'll head off so he can watch his beloved United cover themselves in disgrace, probably. But, you know, potentially glory. Potentially European glory. We'll see how it goes. Oh, Alex had a Hillman Imp. Had to get a note from my parents for the garage to repair work. The cost of the repair was more than the car. I think we've all had one like that. I've loved all my cars. I haven't had that many. I've had 1, 2, 3. This is only my fourth car since I was 17. I don't change them often. You know, as long as they've got wheels and move, I'm fine. That's absolutely fine. What's the point now? Because it'll have to be electric. And then the electric bill would go up. So I'll just hang out as long as I can and then get something snazzy. By then, might be an Apple car. Who knows? Not seeing that. But for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.